Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Pollock, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 24 years of training in the Japanese art of ninjutsu. I'm going to dive right in, and in this episode, talk about how to handle trauma when it's triggered in a client. But before I go on, speaking of being there, the title of this episode. If you are a Pretty Deadly certified self-defense trainer and you're looking for an additional class to engage your clients, you have access to our Warrior Woman Workout, and you're welcome to introduce it to your training groups. Warrior Woman Workout is a continuous flow that combines martial arts movement, functional flow, and yoga asanas for a full body workout that improves mobility and cognitive motor skills. It's been especially popular here in Berlin for people recovering from long-term illness and long-term injuries, such as head injuries like concussion, long COVID, and recovering from surgeries. If you're interested in introducing this to your clients, just reach out to us at hi@prettydeadlypro.com and we'll walk you through it. Okay, back to our episode. How to support a client who is trauma triggered. In our last episode, we talked about how trauma affects our lives in the long term and what it can do to us physically as well as psychologically. What trauma really is about, and why, of course, it's a problem. So the reason that I created Pretty Deadly, I've talked about this many times before, but to support women because of my mom, et cetera, there's a lot of different reasons that I've created Pretty Deadly. But what became clear over time is that the purpose of Pretty Deadly is not to prevent violence, because personally, I don't believe that we can prevent violence. I don't believe it's up to us to prevent violence if we're a target of violence. But what I do think what I know Pretty Deadly can do and has done is it reduces the risk of long-term trauma from violence. And that's the part that I focus on the most when I'm teaching or when I'm talking about the program. So trauma, if we have clients who have experienced some kind of violence, maybe a long time before they've enrolled in your course or even very recently, if they've experienced trauma or if they're carrying trauma with them, sometimes that trauma can be triggered, especially in a self-defense class. We have no idea as trainers what's going to trigger a traumatic response. It could be anything. It could be something you say. It could be a movement. It could be the look on somebody's face. We have absolutely no clue. But what we can do is be prepared to support someone if they're having a traumatic trigger incident. And we can also be prepared to learn how to recognize the signs of trauma if someone is about to be triggered. So this is stuff that we actually spend a lot of time going over in our trainer certification course, but I'm going to give you an overview in this episode. So one of the first things that we do is we learn how to recognize the signs of a trauma trigger. Obviously, if somebody bursts into tears, that's an obvious sign. They'll usually tell you, this reminds me of something, or I don't know why I'm crying. If somebody freaks out, these are really big, obvious signs. Those are easy to see. But sometimes we can recognize when a trauma trigger is about to happen. And that's actually a useful thing, because we can then gently intervene and make sure that the people who look like they might be suffering from it or about to suffer from it are feeling safe and supported. So some of the signs that we can look for is if your client is normally really chatty and in a particular technique or exercise suddenly gets very, very silent. I encourage trainers to look at the mouth of your clients. If their lips are closed and you're seeing tension around the corners of the mouth, that's usually somebody trying to hold something in. If they tend to start backing up from their training partner a lot, making it difficult for the training partner to make contact, that can also be a sign. And again, this isn't necessarily a hard and fast rule, because sometimes you have people who back up because they just don't want to get hit hard, or you have someone who doesn't even realize they're backing up. But if there's someone who's generally really engaged and usually okay with everything, and now their behavior is changing slightly in a more protective way, these can be signs of a trauma that is being triggered, even if it's not expressed yet. If they excuse themselves and go to the bathroom and stay there for a long time, that can also be a sign. And again, as I said, if it, there's a sudden outburst, if there's tears, if there's a freak out, then that's a pretty clear sign. So how do we support someone who is experiencing a trauma trigger? One of the things that's really important to remember about people who are going through that experience is that they're also experiencing shame at the same time. When you become the target of violence, there's a lot of shame with that. Even if you know on a logical level that it's not your fault, we don't victim blame, et cetera, there's always a level of shame that you carry with you. You should have been smarter. You should have been, I don't know, you should have had more foresight. You should have been stronger. You should have been lots of things. You never should have let this happen to yourself. So that shame then becomes exacerbated if we have a trauma that is triggered, because now we're acting out in front of a group of people. So the last thing we want to do if someone is experiencing a trauma trigger, or we suspect they're about to experience a trauma trigger, is shine a spotlight on that person. Instead, we want to quietly intervene and make sure that they are going to be in a safe place. So what we do at Pretty Deadly and in the certification program is we tell people, if you see someone who's in the middle of training and you suspect that they may be starting to experience a trigger, you can actually stop the entire class and just say, okay, we've had enough of that training, or I just thought of something I wanted to say. Something that's disruptive, not in a negative way, but something that's disruptive to that moment, to give the person who's going through that experience a little bit of a break and a little bit of a pause to collect themselves. Trust me, they do not want to have an outburst. Most people really don't. They will appreciate the moment to gather themselves without a spotlight being shown on them. But if it seems like you really need to intervene, then it's okay to say to someone, are you okay? Do you want to sit this one out quietly? You don't need the whole room knowing about it. We always recommend to invite people to step away from the training and to sit and observe if they want to, or if they feel more comfortable, to leave the room if you've got another place for them to sit, and sit outside of the training space. If they want to sit outside of the training space, then they should have a buddy with them. They really should not be alone. So usually you can ask the person that they've been training with, or if you know that they've signed up with a friend, you can ask the friend and just say something simple like, you know, Jane is having a little bit of a hard time right now. She needs to take a break. Can you please sit with her? We want to tell the buddy, do not ask questions. Don't pry. It's not your business. Your job is to sit there and let that person know that you are there. There is a solid human being sitting next to them. Their eyes are open. They are aware. They're in the moment. They can protect them so that that person is safe to feel whatever it is that they're feeling. If the buddy that's been assigned to them wants to give them a hug, that's okay, but they need to ask permission first, because sometimes people experiencing a trigger, really like touching them will make it even more intense. For you as a trainer, we also recommend that you do not provide a hug or any kind of physical support to a person going through this. And we do this for your own protection. That can be really difficult sometimes for trainers, especially if you have a close relationship with your clients. You really love people, you love helping them, and you want to give them a hug. I understand that. However, when we do that, we run the risk of creating a trauma bond with that person, even if that's not what's intended by any party. Trauma bonds are really, really destructive. They're really not healthy, and they're very difficult to break. So we recommend, and the fastest way to make a trauma bond is by giving someone a hug. So to protect yourself as a trainer, do not do that. You can allow the other people in the class to do it, but you should definitely stay hands off. We also give people permission to put on their shoes and coat and go home if that's what they feel comfortable doing. And we let them know that that's okay. They're not failing anything. They're not falling behind. If what makes them comfortable is to leave entirely, then we support them in doing that. We also let them know, though, that we're going to follow up by email to make sure that they get home safe. We can always follow up as well. And I do recommend, if you're teaching self-defense, to have on hand a list of therapists and clinics, places for people to go if they need additional emotional support. If you're a martial artist or a fitness trainer or a community leader or a private individual who's certified to teach self-defense, but you are not a trauma therapist, you should not be acting as one. you don't have the tools. Trauma is really heavy and it can affect you too, just by osmosis. So if you don't have those tools, if you're not a licensed therapist, what you can do is provide people with names and resources, but don't step in and act as one. We want to make sure that our clients are as supported and feeling as safe as possible, but we also want to make sure that we keep ourselves safe too. You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our certification programs are open for enrollment. You can find them on our website at prettydeadlypro.com. This podcast is produced by Singe Network for Pretty Deadly. Recorded in Berlin, our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission of the artists.